It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. We continue our study today in the book of Romans, and so far we've studied through chapter 5, and we're in chapter 6 of the book of Romans. And today we're going to start in verse 8. Well, before we do that, let me say that I pray for you. You say, well, how do you pray for me? You don't even know me. Well, God knows you, and I pray for you. I pray for each person that listens to this program. And I pray that if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, that you will trust Him as your Lord and Savior. And if you do know Him as your Savior, I'm praying for you that you will serve the Lord and that you will be joyful. You will be happy in the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. May the Lord bless you as you study His Word and listen to His Word and heed His Word. I pray for you. Now, something today we're going to look at, and we left off last time, as I've already said, Romans chapter 6 and verse 8. Well, let's go back there just for a moment and recap just a little. In verse 8, it says, now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Having died with Christ, we will live with Him. And of course, as we read the last time, this is a future event that's going to take place with each of us knowing Jesus as Savior. In other words, one day we're going to see Him. Now, it says that we're dead with Christ. That means that we've acknowledged the fact that just as He died, He is alive today. And just as He died, we are alive today. And we have acknowledged the fact of His death, and we've acknowledged the fact of His resurrection. But the person that, of whom we are, the old body that we're in right now is going to die physically. But I look at this as one who knows Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I look at this as not being responsible to anyone but myself. And when I say that, I mean I'm responsible for what I do. I'm responsible as a human being to do what God wants me to do, and especially as a saved person. When I say I am dead with Christ, that means that I look at the old me and I say that old me is gone. Well, does that mean I'm never going to sin? Not at all. It means that I'm serving God the best I know how. And when something comes into my life to separate my joy from Him, I say, Lord, forgive me. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's to the saved person. Well, the unsaved person can also claim that verse by confessing sin. Now, you can't confess every sin that you've ever done, but it's a fact that you acknowledge that you are a sinner and that you need to be saved. You need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior. Well, let's look on now in our study here, and one of these days we're going to be with Him, and old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, speaking of Christ who died for us, man, this is Jesus, and it goes on to say that whether we wake or sleep, and once again, that word sleep means being dead. Whether we're alive or dead, we should live together with Him. The Bible teaches us that we are in the sight of God. It's just as if we're already in heaven, because nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. Once you're saved, you're saved. And God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us on the cross, and He loved us so much that Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Well, the Bible teaches us that there's coming a time when the Lord is going to say, come up hither, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And that's those people who have gone on. That's those who are sleeping. In other words, they've died. Whether we wake, and that's us who are alive. And it says, we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to be with the Lord forever. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And that's what 1 Thessalonians 5:10 is saying. He died for us, Jesus, that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're alive or we've gone on, we should live together with him. Jesus is with us now. In other words, he lives within us. We've studied that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." In other words, we died with Christ. Once we've trusted him as our Savior, it's saying we have died with him, and we are going to live with him physically one day because he gave his life for us and because we recognized him as our Savior at one time in our lives. We've asked him to come into our heart. Therefore, we're on our way to heaven, and we're on our way to meet him in the clouds. If he would come back today, we would go to be with him. Well, notice the first part of verse 9 now, in chapter 6. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, we know that Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again, according to that verse. Death has no more dominion, according to the other part of that verse. It says, death hath no more dominion over him. Death does not have power over Christ. And because it does not have power over Christ, it does not have power over us. That means that, once again, spiritually, we're going to live with him forever. Now, don't get me wrong. We're going to have a body. We are going to be alive spiritually and in a body. He's going to fashion us. We're going to be resurrected and have a new body. It's not going to be this body. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22, it says, "Who is going into heaven," and that's Jesus, "and is on the right hand of God, and angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." When Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12, it says, "But this man," that's Jesus, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Well, then in Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, we'll see this later, it says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Well, now, of course, Romans chapter 6 and verse 10, in the first part of that verse, it says, "For in that he died unto sin once." You see, Christ did die. He died once. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27, it says, "Who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice for his own sins and then for the people's, for this he did once when he offered up himself." Jesus Christ died for your sins. He died for my sin. And you need to appropriate that today. If you've never done that, you need to ask him to save you. You need to say, "Lord, I know you died for me, and I'm asking you to come into my heart." See, Jesus died on the cross. He didn't die for his own sin because he had no sin. He was perfect. He died for the sins of the people of this world. And if you've never trusted him as your Savior, you need to do that today. If you are saved, you need to realize that it's Jesus Christ who died for your sins. And I know you know that because you've trusted him. You've asked him to come into your heart, and therefore you need to be living for him. Well, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12 says this, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood." This is Jesus. It says he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10 says, "By the which will we are sanctified, set apart, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ." Now, that "set apart" that I mentioned there, it's not in that verse, but that's what sanctified means, set apart, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It's once. It happens one time when we ask Jesus into our hearts, when we get saved. It's a one-time thing. We don't have to keep going back and begging God to save us after we've asked Jesus into our heart. Jesus died once. You get saved once. Jesus is not going to come down from heaven again and die on that cross for your sins. He's already done that. You're saved once. You ask Jesus into your heart. Well, now notice the rest of verse 10 in chapter 6 of Romans. It says there, but in that he liveth unto God. Now because Christ lives, he lives for God the Father, and we also need to be living for God the Father. Acts chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before here before you whole." A healing had taken place there. Acts 13:30 says, "But God raised him from the dead." Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and because he lives, you and I can live. Well, notice with me now verses 11 and 12 of chapter 6 of Romans. It says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." Well, this means just as or likewise Christ died once for sin, we need to reckon or realize that we are dead to sin, but alive for God because of Jesus. We should not be serving sin, but we need to be serving the Lord. Verses 13 and 14, it says there, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Instead of letting sin have dominion or control over our bodies, in other words, doing wrong, we need to yield or surrender ourselves to God. The Bible says there that sin shall not have dominion over you. In other words, it shall not reign in your life, make you the victim of its remorse and its penalties. Verse 14, the first part of that verse says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." And notice, "For ye are not under the law, but under grace." We are not dependent upon having fulfilled the law for salvation, but upon grace. That is God's mercy. Christians are not under the law as legalists, and we've talked about this, not under the law as legalists or attempting to be satisfied and justified by it. People are to seek a different plan of justification altogether, and they are not to attempt to be justified by their own obedience to the law or works. The Jews were legalists, but could not keep the law. No one is saved from sin through the law by doing good works or whatever you want to call it, by trying to do good in order to go to heaven. No way. The only way that a person goes to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Well, as we look on, we notice this in verse 15 of chapter 6. The Bible says there, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace?" Paul says, once again, he says, "God forbid." In other words, do we have a license to sin because we are under grace, because we are saved? Absolutely not. This does not give us a license to sin. Verse 16, it says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Do you know him today as your Savior? Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? If you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? Are you 100% sure? Well, you can be. You can be sure of one thing, that Jesus Christ came into the world to seek you. If you've never trusted him as your Savior, you need to ask him to come into your heart today. "Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I'm changing my mind, Lord. I'm not going my way anymore. I'm going to go your way and trust you as my Savior."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.